Now, the songs that we sang and the scriptures that we just read are familiar to many of us. Even if you haven't grown up in church or regularly coming to church this time of year, I think even people out on the street who haven't even been inside a church, when these songs are heard, they will recognize them and may even be able to sing along, even from memory. And some of these scriptures will be familiar because you see them on billboards or on cards or t-shirts. Even this time of year, even at Walmart, you'll see things like this being played and on display. The tendency for us, because of things that we grow familiar with and we think that we know already, is that they end up becoming dull and boring. We want something new, something fresh. And we can just let the words and the meaning of things that we've become memorized or part of our memory just to go past us. We can stop thinking, stop reflecting, stop pondering. And if I was to ask you, just in your mind right now, just to think about, try to summarize maybe in a sentence or two, you know, what was the theme of what we just sang about, what we just read about? What was it? What did you notice? What stands out to you as we sing those Christmas carols, Christmas hymns, and read those familiar passages this time of year? Maybe it's the manger scene and the circumstances all around, the star and the wise men coming from the east and the shepherds and angels. We sang a lot about angels. Maybe it was prophecy being fulfilled. Maybe it's the virgin birth and Mary and the angel coming to speak with Mary. Or maybe you understand, no, this is speaking about the Savior coming to the world. This is Jesus who will save his people from their sins. And so this is about forgiveness of sins, Jesus coming into the world to forgive sinners. And all those things are true. And some may be more important than others. But when we consider the songs that we just sang and the scriptures that we just read, they all have a theme that is in common in all of them. And maybe we are so familiar, we don't even recognize anymore, but all of these are anthems celebrating the kingship of Jesus, the coming king into this world, the king who will establish his throne of his father David, and his kingdom will see no end. Here comes the king to reverse the effects of the fall and to bring peace, justice, righteousness, and law to this earth. Think about it. O come all you faithful. That's the first song we began with. It starts like this. O come, all you faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels, King of the heavens. Then we sang, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Next we asked in this song, what child is this? And the answer in the chorus, this is Christ the King. And O come, Emmanuel, it says, O come, thou rod of Jesse, a reference to this branch coming out of David's throne, this coming ruler. And angels from the realms of glory, we sang, come and worship, worship Christ, the newborn king. In a holy night, we sang, the King of kings lays in a lowly manger. And then we sang, behold your king, before him lowly bend. And joy to the world, which we'll sing next. It says, joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her king. That's how it starts. And it wasn't just the songs that we sang, it was also the scriptures that we read. We read from Isaiah 9, verse 6, where it says, the government shall be on his shoulders. In verse 7, it says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. That passage, for to us a child is born, that is talking about the king is coming. And he's here. Luke 1. We read from there too, verses 32 and 33. It said this, the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. In Matthew 2, we read those passages, and it says, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And then he quotes Micah 5. And Micah 5 verse 2 says this, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from ancient days. We read from Isaiah 40, verse 10. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Here comes the ruler. Here comes the king. And even as you think about the Messiah or the Christ who was born, the very title Christ or Messiah you probably know is Messiah, coming from Hebrew origins, a transliteration of the Hebrew word Messiah and Christ, the same thing, a transliteration of the Greek word Christ. Both of them refer to the same one and the same idea, anointed one. But the question is, anointed for what? This is anointed for kingship. This is like when Samuel poured the oil over David and anointed him as king. Here comes the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the anointed king. The title Jesus Christ itself is King Jesus. Here is the king, the Christ, Messiah. This is what we sing and read about when we come to Christmas, the coming king into the world. Now, Christians in the past have warned about the use of symbols or icons or images because they can narrow our view of God. And sometimes our traditions, while well-meaning, can end up narrowing our view of who God is. We think of the major scene or nativity scene. We can then think Christmas is about the circumstances of Jesus coming into the earth or coming into the world. Or we can think about the cross, perhaps the most well-known symbol of Christianity. And the cross symbolizes Jesus' death and his resurrection, the empty cross, and forgiveness of sins. Here's the Lamb of God who gave his life. But then when we come to seasons like Christmas and Easter and throughout the year, we can then have a truncated view of who Jesus is. Because not only do we picture Jesus in a manger, not only do we picture him at a cross or at an empty cross, but we should picture a crown, a king, a ruler, a victor, conqueror. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to this world to reverse the effects of the fall and to establish God's righteous rule in this universe. It's too easy for us in our day and age where we're pushed in a secular culture to personalize the whole meaning of the whole message of Christmas. To make Christmas just about us, about being reconciled with God, just me, and about my forgiveness of sins and what Jesus has done for me, and he's loved me, he's come to this earth, and he's died for sinners like me, and so I'm so glad that we can remember that at Christmas. We have to remember that, as true as that is, Jesus did come as a Savior. He did come to forgive sin. But he also came as the Christ, as the Lord, as the King. And he came so that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that he is Christ, that he is King. Listen to what Isaiah 49, we did not read this passage, but another passage that talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, again, written 700 years before his birth. It says there in Isaiah 49, verses 6 and 7, it is too light a thing, okay, listen to what God says about Jesus. It's too light a thing, too small a thing, that you should be my servant, speaking of Jesus, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. In other words, this is not just Jesus coming to save Israel or coming to save a small people. He's coming to save and to redeem the world. It says, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. Listen to what it says about him. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Kings and princes, rulers, they will bow their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Too light a thing that he might come and save Israel. He's going to save the nations, the Gentiles. And most of us here in this room could be thankful that the gospel has gone to the Gentiles and that Christ's salvation is going to the ends of the earth. And so at Christmas, let's remember not only the birth of the baby Jesus, time of gathering together as family and celebrating Jesus' salvation and forgiveness of sins, but also the coming of the King into this world. And as we consider the coming of the King, I just want to give you a couple short reflections. Matthew 2, a passage we read, which talked about the wise men coming and Herod's response. There's a couple of things I just want to draw your attention to, because we think about Jesus as the King coming into this world And even now he sits at the right hand of the Father. He's waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool for his feet, you know, put his feet on the neck of his enemies. And even death itself will be defeated. Now, as we wait and long for that day, we have in Matthew 2, as it describes the coming of Jesus, it describes Herod's response, and it describes the response of the people of Jerusalem. It helps us think about what our response ought to be to the kingship of Jesus. Because when Jesus is king, he is Lord of heaven and earth. When he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, well, that means something for all of us. So what does that look like? Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2 says this. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. The first thing I see when I look at these two verses is that King Jesus deserves to be worshipped by all. Even people who were not part of Israel, not part of God's people. These are people from the east. These are idol worshipers. These are people who don't worship the one true God, and yet they come and they bow their knee before Jesus Christ, King of heaven and earth. The nations should flock to him in loving obedience and worship. So often today we think of worship to God and gratitude towards God because he's done something good for us. You know, we think about we've been forgiven and God's loved us and I'm so thankful that God has done all these things in my life and all these blessings and so now I can worship him. But then we can fall into this kind of sentimentalism where we only worship and give thanks to God whenever life is going well and life's going bad. It's like, what's wrong, God? Like, are you not happy with me, not pleased with me anymore? Don't you want my worship and praise? And so that kind of worship is shallow and selfish. But Christ deserves worship not only because he saves and redeems, but because he's the king. And all deserve, or all must give allegiance to this king. Even people from the east, non-Jews, came here to worship. And we know, because the zeal of the Lord will do this, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you'll do it in loving obedience, or you'll do it because you've been conquered by the king. So come and worship the newborn king. Now, do we live that way? And we worship not just in song. We worship because we listen to the king. We delight in his law. We delight in his word. We delight in righteousness and justice. We want to live for Jesus. We want to see his rule and reign in our lives, in the church, and in this world. This is our calling, to worship King Jesus. Secondly, so Christ deserves worship by all. Second reflection, listen to verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. You see, Herod here was troubled. And not only was Herod troubled, but all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. And what we see from here is that not only does Christ deserve to be worshipped by all, but that Christ's rule will be hated and resisted by some. Those who lust after power and authority, who long for might and for control, will hate the idea of Jesus being king. Oh, they'll be content if Jesus is your Savior, and if you keep Jesus, you know, in your heart and in the closet. But if Jesus as king has a bearing in your life and a bearing in the world today and a bearing out in public, well, that can't be tolerated by the rulers of this world. And so Herod was troubled, and he wanted Jesus dead. He was a threat to his authority. Same with all of Jerusalem. We see from the priests, the Pharisees, the high priests, all of them. They hated Jesus because he was a threat to their authority. Jesus will be hated because he is the king and he rules over every ruler. What's interesting is that we see this around the world today. Communist countries like the old Soviet Union and China know full well that if Christianity is practiced in its fullness, and if it's truth, that heralds and declares and lives by the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it will subvert their rule and their authority, and that their country will not be the same anymore. They will not have their power. And so they must persecute the church, suppress it, force it underground, or make it compromise, have a state church that plays fairly with the earthly rulers. If you say that Jesus is Lord over all and that all owe allegiance to King Jesus, you will find yourself as an enemy of the state. Jesus is King. That's the second reflection we see. Not all will like Jesus' rulership and kingship. The third reflection. Verse 5 in Matthew 2 says this. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Christ will shepherd his people. He, as king, is going to be a terror to those who resist his rulership. But to those who come to him, for those who bow before him, those who come and worship, who profess allegiance, who trust him, who come to him as both king and as savior, who realize we can't save ourselves, we're at his mercy, and we come before him thankful that he not only is the king, but is also the lamb, also our high priest, and we can be forgiven of our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ, reconciled to God, be made citizens of his kingdom, adopted even as children of God. Oh, it's a wonderful reality for those who come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. He's our shepherd. He will lead us in paths of righteousness. He will feed us. He will tenderly care for us like a lamb in its arms, it says in Isaiah 40. This is our King who loves his own and who cares for them. And so the question for us here this evening, whether we're gathered here or watching from home, how do we respond to Jesus as King? Do we celebrate and want to come and bow our knee and worship to the King of the universe, give him our life, follow him all the days of our life? Or do we resist and bristle at the idea that he has charge and authority over me? Jesus is a wonderful King, a wonderful shepherd, a wonderful Savior. And so let's remember this Christmas, the kingship of Jesus, the delight and the privilege that we have to serve this ruling and reigning King, who will subdue all nations, all kingships, all governments, and they all rest on his shoulders, and his rule and reign will be seen from not only to sea, but all over this cosmos, this universe. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for the kingship of Christ. We thank you that even at Christmas now, we can remember the coming King into the world. God, we even recognize that our entire calendar, our own births are marked and adjusted and measured by how far along we have come since the time of Jesus and his coming. Just like they would measure the kings of old in the 6th year of Hezekiah and the 10th year of Artaxerxes, here we are in the 2020 year of King Jesus. Oh God, we thank you for the kingship of Christ. Oh, how we long to see his kingdom spread here in our land, in our church, in our city, around this world. May his righteousness and justice, may his law reign and rule. Oh, save your people. Oh, bring them in. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.